National boundaries are arbitrated. Some are erased. Empires rise and fade. Corporations bloom. Many expire. Cities decay. Armies are defeated. Vested interests lose their friends at court. Political parties wane. And in the midst of all this change, Christ's movement on this planet grows stronger. I can anchor to this. I can survive the daily headlines. I can quietly and confidently go about my work after listening to the morning news. I can smile at the pessimist. Gloom and doom will never write the bottom line. Nothing brings more glee to hell than an epidemic of fear, cynicism, despair that may break out among believers. They make the word believer a paradox. There's no reason for a Christian to be caught up in a climate of uncertainty and dread. There will be no collapse in the cause of Christ. Lady, banks may fail. Stock markets can collapse. Inflation may eat away at the dollar, but Jesus never fails. You may ask, whatever happened to the American dream? Well, we're jolted by erosion to convictions which brought us together in fellowship. Casual, almost beachwear in services. Religious rock made acceptable as praise. More leaning to our own understanding is evident. There are moments when many sigh. This world won't be too difficult to leave behind. The answer to all such inventory is that the power of the gospel shows no sign of abating. There is danger. These are not ordinary times. I do read the signs. There's no reason, however, to believe we have our backs to the wall. History recites these ebbs and flows. I often travel to the city of Jerusalem in Israel and sit and look at the massive walls on the old community, and they tell the story of challenge, conquest, and progress. Somehow that city is there. Eras pass. Commercials are discontinued. Scenes are closed. Will mankind outgrow the gospel? Never. The message of Jesus is always relevant. Human experience has shown us that whenever men defy God's laws of truth and right, the laws themselves are not broken, but, as Chesterton remarked, men break themselves against them. The record teaches us that whenever men or nations come into the possession of tremendous power, sooner or later they will encounter a sovereign will above their own, to which inevitably they are held accountable. We live in a universe that is morally on the square. Whenever this fact is flouted or ignored, there follows a violent shaking of human destiny. It doesn't take God long, mister, to let this planet know who is the boss. We have a right to sing, "The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth." And with this verdict of history in mind, I suggest first, this kingdom is unshakable because it involves not a quantity of living, but a quality of life. Gerald Kennedy is told of a country girl who married a well-to-do boy from the city. And after a while, she wrote home to her mother to say that she had more nice clothes than she'd ever had, and she was meeting the kind of people that she'd always wanted to meet, and she was going to all the theaters she had time to attend. And then she added, "There's only one thing wrong. I hate my husband." Now, that kind of living will collapse. It does collapse. It cannot survive. All today's sophistication cannot stabilize it. It crumbles. Divorce, perversion, fraud, stimulants are evidence. It's a cardboard kingdom. The emphasis is on quantity. The mirage is lots of marriage partners, lots of clothes, lots of recklessness, lots of spending. And so we shatter values. It's only getting and accumulating that counts. We're overstuffed, overpriced, overrated, and miserably lost. We forget that it is more blessed to give. We enter marriage to get. Our games leave nothing for the loser. Athletes place pay as the goal. Greed rules. We gouge the consumer. We grab and polarize, and nothing satisfies. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." It isn't outside where the rule is more grasping than loving, and we're more bored than happy. God revealed it all in Jesus. Jesus saved people. He saved them from rotting and trespass. He saved them from suffocation by wealth. He saved them from the infection that anger, jealousy, resentment, and argument bring. He saved them from the heavy burden of religion and tradition. He gave them a quality of life. There were glory, honor, contentment, sharing, peace. He brought values that are not listed on the DJ stock averages. And Jesus brought a thankfulness. He cleansed the believer from complaining, murmuring, criticizing. He brought a freshness, a victory into the believer's personality. It stems from a compliance with the will of God. So I can be happy when it rains. I can be happy when it shines. Quantity of living is always in the area of outer achievement, but quality of life is something that's inside. Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that a man possesseth. You have to live with yourself, mister. If you can respect yourself, you can live happily in very ordinary circumstances, and if you cannot respect yourself, you will be discontented in a palace or paying high taxes in the exclusive country club section. You talk about destiny, sir? That can be an illusion. You can't achieve your own destiny. You're not king. You're not potentate. You're not the boss. The devil is. Without God's rule in your heart, your destiny will be what Satan wants it to be. God's kingdom alone guarantees your victory. Oh, you're on a fool's errand to look for it among gadgets and comforts. You'll find it at the cross, the open tomb, the ascension. Our happiness does not depend upon skyscrapers or neons. Our happiness depends upon conscience, a soul in tune with our Maker and righteousness. Yes, it is important to ask, do I know how to live? Jesus shows us how. And second, the kingdom is unshakable because it's not static, but possesses creative power. It grows, sir, it grows. The gospel's not an endless list of negatives. Matthew defines it as mighty works. You do not stand still in Jesus. Never, never. The rich young ruler was so proud of his negatives. His life was a complete cancellation. He did not do this. He did not do that. He was a vacuum. Nothing was happening. Jesus offered him adventure. He was a prisoner to his wealth. Christ's advice was, sell. Sell what thou hast. Give it away. He said to him, come, follow me. Poor fellow. He died in obscurity. He might have been an apostle. His name might have been on a New Testament portion. Great cathedrals might have been called after him, but he chose to drown in dollars and cents. So Jesus comes to save you from the status quo. His kingdom is meant to make you explosive. It did to Martin Luther. Rome couldn't stop that man. His kingdom isn't for people who think they've arrived. The gospel puts the real go into people. It brought the Puritan to these shores to build a nation. It brought the Quaker to Pennsylvania. It brought the Moravian to Ohio. It brought the Methodist to the frontiers. It sent 11 disciples into a tottering world with nothing to support them except the promise of his presence. It changes a walk of sight into a walk of faith. It has taken Billy Graham, a North Carolina lad, and used him to fill the greatest arenas on this planet. You feel the grip of a message, vital, dynamic, and imperial. It has turned the South Pacific from cannibalism to Christianity. Oh, yes, it's on the move again, lady. Bigger auditoriums are being built in city after city. There's no unemployment in Christ's ministry today. It's a bullish market. I began in store buildings, brush arbors, and now we use city auditoriums. People want the Pentecostal message. Everywhere there is testimony to miracle, glossolalia, gifts of the Spirit, missionary breakthroughs. There's nothing dormant about this kingdom. It is reaching the Colsons and the Cleavers and the George Foremans. It is shaking society. Not society shaking it. This kingdom is penetrating every walk of life. It has brought a believer into our White House. Gerald Knight wrote a book on Albert Schweitzer, Verdict on Schweitzer. And the New York Times carried a review. It said, this faceless world of the 20th century is not an age of heroes. This is the age of panels and commissions, opinion polls, mass movements, and the like. To those weary of the materialism of the West, repulsed by the totalitarianism of the East, searching for a human ideal to which they may pledge their soul, the image of Schweitzer has towered out of the black jungle of Africa to inspire and serve as an altar of dedication. This kingdom, mister, hasn't bogged down into committees and legislation and bureaucracy. It is on the move. And third, this kingdom is unshakable because it belongs not to time, but to eternity. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." It was a new conception for Pilate. Paul told the Philippians, "Your citizenship is in heaven. We are in the world, but not of the world." In Kennedy's play, The Terrible Meek, the centurion said to Mary at the foot of the cross, "Now I tell you, woman, that this dead son of yours, disfigured, shamed, spat upon, has built this day a kingdom that can never die." No, you can't destroy Jesus, sir. You can't destroy his message. It is what Ruth Fox sang in our evangelistic circles. "I see a crimson stream. It flows from Calvary." Yes, it flows. The current is strong, sir. And this kingdom is for you. It will redeem you. It will lift you above all you detest, all that would trample you. It begins with an act of trust, so receive him. Simply trusting. Every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when our faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that's all. God never meant it to be difficult. This sense of commitment is meant to be easy and sweet. So casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. And in him, lady, yes, lady, your future, your tomorrow is secure. In the next 10 seconds, we will approach the grace of God, where we all can find relief and redemption. These are moments of grandeur at the long, long altar.
There's room at the cross for you.
Mrs. Paul Hockenberry there at Millersburg, Pennsylvania, loves this climax to the meeting. She says, "I'm a Sunday school teacher and a lay leader in our United Methodist Church. I'm born again and spirit-filled, and I find a motivation at the long, long altar that brings reality and result in my service for Jesus." Gary Romanti kneels with us at another far stretch of the altar there at Batangas in the Philippines. His household is so thankful the station DZA brings these ministries to them. And he says, "As I kneel, I pray that the meeting will lead the unsaved to Jesus." And Miss Jenny Hill, Columbia, South Carolina, had this wonderful incident in her life at the long, long altar. "Brother Ward, the Spirit of God directed you to say, there is a lady who has been passed by when pay raises and promotions have been given in her office. But God will correct this. And I knew it was the word for me. Within weeks, the boss called me into his office and apologized for the oversight and bad treatment, and immediately authorized a substantial increase in my salary. And Mrs. H.V. Prelip of Adrian, Michigan, sent a lovely thank you. Brother Ward, thanks for praying for telephone operators. The pressure is heavy both ways, and we needed that prayer. So here we are, thousands of us. We come with thanksgiving and praise. Jesus, thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. We find spiritual life in confessing before people that thou art the only begotten Son of God. Crush that serpent of sin that spreads infection in people. Grant freedom to those who seek it at the long, long altar, and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And I pray especially for that person who has lived for money alone. Now I pray for the elderly who feel the heat and chafe in these warm months. I pray that thou wilt establish thy will on earth among our African brethren with justice and liberty for all. I pray for thy friends and my friends, the Arapahoes and the Sioux. Keep us all under the charismatic cloud and witnesses. Amen." Oh, yes, yes, we're in business. The Master is in this fellowship, and this is his kingdom. The angels proclaim that the mission of Jesus is goodwill toward men, and Jesus is moving in that goodwill toward you, sir. You have suffered color blindness all your life. Now, Jesus commands that infirmity to stop, and you will detect color correctly from this moment. He paid the price for this adjustment to your body at Calvary, and he grants it to you as a benefit of your salvation and in trust. So glorify him. I'm his evangelist. Praise God for the meeting. I thrill to assemble with you. I love you in South Africa. I love you in Tonga. I love you in Bangkok. I love you in Ghana. We are a family, and he is the provider husband to us. And there is no mightier name than the name of Jesus. And at any moment, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And what happens next cannot be prevented. We're made ready through the ministry of the Spirit, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.M. Ward in a message entitled, Invincible. Is your life hidden within the fortress of Christ? Your faith opens the door. Accept His forgiveness today and receive the security and strength Jesus offers.
We hope you have been blessed by this gospel broadcast cassette. May I remind you that the Revival Time Cassette Ministry is made possible through the free will offerings of those hearing or sharing the cassettes. God bless you for your part in this ministry. An extensive printed ministry of Revival Time includes copies of C.M. Ward's messages and books written on a wide variety of pertinent subjects. A list of these items will be sent on request. Until it is our privilege to meet with you again this same time next week, this is Lee Schultz saying thanks for inviting us in and urging you to send your offering for this worldwide missionary crusade to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri, USA.